This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Before we get started today, I want to dedicate this episode this week to Helen Reddy, who passed away and will be best known by Disney fans for appearing in Pete's Dragon and singing the song Candle on the Water.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
All this has happened before.
Hey kids, Townsend Coleman here, the voice of Michelangelo from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Tom Kane, this is the voice of Yoda on Star Wars.
Hey yo, it's Wopat, and a big yee-haw to you all. I used to be Luke Duke.
Hi, my name is Oli Shoshan. I play Jedi Master Shakti.
Hi, Butch Patrick here, Eddie Munster.
Hi, this is Jim.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer. You're listening to the Neverland Podcast.
Welcome to Neverland, to Disney and beyond.
And it will all happen again.
And now your head lost boy, the Spider Pan.
Walk on the eyes, it is Pan.
Jeremy.
Hooray for Captain Disney!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders, and sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Think up that happiest thought, and let's fly away to Neverland. And as you heard, yes, I am Jeremy. I am your Spider Pan. And hey, look there, Lost Boy Philip is back again.
Oh, hey there. How you doing, brother?
Well, we're doing pretty good. Philip's been playing with everything on the desk before we get started on the show today. We're going to have some fun. I'm going to warn you now. I may end up ranting a few times on the show because there's some things that I just like. I have to get off my chest.
Well, keep the shirt on, son.
I'll keep my shirt on, but I'm going to pull my... No, never mind. I was going to say something about I'm keeping this. You know, I call the show, it's E for Everyone 10 and up. We'll just call it like that. So, you know, but yeah.
E for everyone.
Yeah. We'll try to keep it on there.
Good.
This has been... What's going on? You're leaning on one of my Pez things hanging on the wall. Careful there. This was kind of a weird week, and I was even worried I wasn't going to get a show. Let me tell you, give you your weekly update of things. So last Sunday, as I'm sitting here at home, I got a text message from my boss asking me to drive down to Springfield, Missouri, which is about a 2.5-hour drive, to go down and cover for somebody who had a car had broken down in Branson, and so they couldn't cover to work at school. Those of you who have been listening to the show for a long time know that I am currently a school portrait photographer for, you know, doing school pictures. We're about to hit our busiest month here in October, but I was going down to cover for him, and so I didn't get into town until like 9:30 or whatever, so I barely got any sleep. But it was interesting, the guy that I was covering for, he was able to come along later that afternoon and come to find out that he had actually trained to be a professional wrestler.
Awesome.
And he was on his final, like a trial match. It was the last one he had to do before they were actually going to let him on the roster. And he was actually wrestling with Harley Race's school, or at least that was his goal.
Because
he loved Harley Race. But he had something go wrong, and like he moved when he wasn't supposed to or something. And his friend, who he was wrestling, was dropping an elbow and hit him square in the back and cracked. He said it's like a hairline, it was like straight on the up and down of his back. Man. And so that ended his wrestling career before it really got started. So, but it was kind of an interesting conversation, but I thought that was an interesting.
Poor guy. But,
well, the other things, interesting stuff this week, and this is, I am now, we've been official homeowners. We've almost been in this home. We've owned this home now for a year, and we moved into it like November.
That's so hard to believe.
In this house, quit. Yeah, it's been a year. So, yeah, you almost crushed BB-8 there on my pen.
I'm going to move BB-8 here. I'm going to move
You crashed my pen. I think you bent my pen. You did. You bent my pen holding up a Star Wars poster. You got to be careful of leaning over there.
I apologize. I'm going to move this while I sit down over here.
Yeah, move my Pez around. I got a BB-8 Pez, and I got one of a Porg over here, too, that are kind of down low, but I didn't know where to hang those Pezes. I didn't want to take them out the packages.
Poor Pez.
But so our bathroom exhaust fan, this is, I got to look at the comedy of this. Our bathroom exhaust fan had been making a lot of horrible noises, then finally just up and died. And we didn't, I thought I was going to have to get an electrician and all this other stuff. And then finally I just got on the internet and I started like typing in, like, how do you replace those? And finding people on YouTube, you could swap out some parts in about 5 minutes, provided you use the same housing that's up in your ceiling. After, let's just say a long story of buying one that was a larger housing that was supposed to be a quieter and more powerful fan, we couldn't get the housing out because the screws are off to the side and not on the inside of the housing, and we couldn't get a screwdriver up there to take out the housing. So we had to go back today after spending an hour trying to maybe see if we could get it out. We had to go back to Lowe's today and buy one that actually fit. And so we've managed to swap out. I've installed a new bathroom exhaust fan. It works. I am officially home repair guy now.
You're kind of Tim Allen it then.
I am Tim Allen this thing. We do have more power because Heather really wanted more power in it. I thought it's a small bathroom. We could probably go to the exact same model that was in there before, but she wanted it to be a bit more powerful.
So you're saying, she said, I don't think so, Jeremy?
I don't think so, Jeremy. She wanted more power, and I was like, I don't think so, Heather.
But we
bought one with more power to it, which...
Hey, at least you got it done.
At least we got it done, but I was like, yay, we managed to repair it, you know. And
not half the house gone, so that's good.
Right, so yay, home repair, learning as I go, so...
Yeah, it makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Makes you feel good when you can fix
that's
something.
Great. Woohoo! That's wonderful. So, outstanding.
But yeah, so other things going on. So, you know, of course, what we like to also bring up is, what have you been watching on Disney Plus?
Well... This week, I only watched a couple things, and I was watching some, I was very excited. I saw that they now have Halloween specials
yes.
on there, and I was watching some of the old stuff and some of the new stuff. I'll be honest with you, I've been watching Halloween specials ever since I was a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
And my father, we used to record things.
That's Canada one.
Oh yeah.
Witch Man.
I always loved that, and I have a copy of that DVD. I record things, and some of it I have since I was young. Mm-hmm. One of the things I really do like about YouTube and other things that you can usually find, and not always.
You can find a lot of
stuff, find a lot of things, some that you've never seen, some that you have.
Garfield and Friends has an official channel that has the Halloween special
That's
on
That's awesome.
Now. Mm-hmm.
But now with the Disney, what I love about their Halloween list is some of them that I have not owned or had for a while, I've been able to find them on there.
Yeah.
One of my very favorite ones is Trick or Treat. It's a
the old cartoon. Trick
yes.
or Treat.
Trick or Treat. Trick or treat for Halloween. And I love that.
Those good dinosaurs can stand on something on your front door. Better not be stingy or your nightmares will come true. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yes, love it.
And that's where Witch Hazel first began. The woman who did the voice for Witch Hazel,
June Foray,
mm-hmm. was so popular and loved that later on Warner Brothers used her.
Yeah, and they called her Hazel as well.
Hazel. Because of the, in case no one knows, I'm sure you do, most of you do, Witch Hazel is also the old, was it aftershave or cologne?
I think there was a plant that was Witch Hazel.
And it was put into the cologne and stuff.
I think they put a lot of different things.
Yeah, and so therefore, you know, that's kind of the joke of it. Witch Hazel, yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? And it's the same voice and all, but I got it, maybe because I like Disney. I like both.
Yeah, June Foray was awesome, though. I mean,
she was wonderful.
Rocky the Flying Squirrel.
Yeah.
I mean, so many characters. Of course, so in Disney.
Lonesome Ghost.
Well, yeah, Lonesome Ghost, but I mean, she was Magic of Dispel on DuckTales.
Oh, yeah. I thought you
were pretty much doing the same voice she had as Natasha on Bullwinkle and Rocky. It was pretty much the same. But yeah, June Frey was awesome. She was fantastic. And I wish I'd have gotten a chance to meet her before she passed.
Yes, that would have been great.
But so far, all I've gotten to watch is I sat and I know many of you were would hold this against me, but because I always fall asleep during the Mr. Toad thing.
Oh, I love that.
I don't know why, but I want to get to the end. But I skipped ahead to Ichabod, and I watched Ichabod last night. But then I was looking at the other stuff, and I never actually got to see Mr. Boogity.
Oh, that's...
Because when I was young, I didn't have control of the TV. So I saw Mr. Boogity, which is only 45 minutes. I'm going to watch that, and then Bride of Boogity.
Yes.
And I don't know what order to watch them on, but I've heard a lot of good things about the Halloween Town stuff. So I think I'm going to sit and try to watch one just to check it out. Because they got a lot of great stuff popping up.
Mr. Boogity was one that we watched over and over and over again as kids. My father loved it. He used to tape all the Disney, whatever it's called, Sunday Night.
Basically like Sunday Night movies.
Yeah. They tape them, and we would watch that one.
I think it was
a lot.
Launched like a little bit series of one, because we'd have was it called Sidekicks that even had, I think Ernie Reyes Jr. Yeah, Ernie Reyes Jr. was still a kid, and they had him in there before he ended up being, Ninja Turtles and all kinds of stuff. And he's a stuntman in Hollywood.
But we watched
there was the one with all the kids that they would sing old 50s songs. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Where they all got adopted by the rich guy, and they would sing songs from the 50s and 60s.
But, so on Mr. Boogity, back to that. Well, Mr. Boogity loved that one, and then they did the sequel. But now, I'll be honest, I don't like the sequel as much, the Bride of Boogity.
Bride of Boogity.
It didn't have all the same actors. It had some of them, but not all of them. I do like that as Eugene Levy. I don't like all the actors aren't the same, and here's the reason. Right after they did Boogity, Mr. Boogity, the kid who's in it goes and does Alf.
Benji Gregory.
And then the other kid, he goes off to do Married with Children.
Was that him?
Yeah.
I did recognize Christy Swanson.
Yeah, and and now she at that time she right at the same time was doing, I think it was right after that, she goes off and does Ferris Bueller. And she was in that. She was one who stands up and tells Ben Stein that he's real sick.
Oh, yeah.
She's always beautiful, I thought.
Because, I can't remember. There was something she had done before Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
I can't think of theirs, but she's done a lot of things.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
She's great. And
I always thought would make a pretty good Supergirl, too.
I thought same thing. Mm-hmm. I really did, always did. But that's a good show. And so if you have Disney Plus, watch that. There's a lot of great ones. Of course, you have Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
You can't beat it.
You can watch it for the next 3 months.
The next 3, 4, 5, 18, 12
watch
months.
It all year. Who cares, right?
That's right.
And that gives you something different to watch. Because one thing I want to,
you got a lot of good shows on there.
Here comes the first of probably many rants I'm going to go with today. So I've seen that it's popped up on Netflix, Enola Holmes. And I even had this conversation with my wife because she saw, Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things. That's great. But, if I was a woman, I think I'd be really insulted that every time we get a heroine, they have to borrow from something else.
Oh, I saw.
So, because, instead of creating a new detective character, this is Sherlock Holmes, but it's a girl. This is Sherlock Holmes' sister. Oh, and she's smarter than he is. And I was like... That's the way they play it. And it's gone on for a long time. She-Hulk, Batgirl, Supergirl, Spider-Woman. And now they've doubled down on Spider-Man because now you have a Spider-Gwen and you have Silk. They find ways to resend out the same character we've already had. But now it's a girl. And they don't let the girl be able to stand up on their own. Now, I think Barbara Gordon, they've done great things with her, especially when they had her as Oracle. She did establish herself as her own character, but now she's Batgirl again.
She-Ra, yeah.
She-Ra was basically female He-Man, yeah.
And now that I know that more of the name, they put she because of he, and then Ra, which was an Egyptian god.
I still love She-Ra.
But still.
It seems like they keep just cycling where they're like, we're going to take this character that already exists, but now we're going to have a female version. And I'm like, that's a disservice. What happened to the originals like Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Love Wonder Woman. And the Invisible Woman. In my opinion, the Invisible Woman is probably one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful Marvel character.
I was selling that to my nephew the other day. He'd never heard of her. And so I was telling him how
we need a Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah, and they're working on that. So I gave him some toys.
A good Fantastic Four movie, I guess I should say.
Toys of the Fantastic Four, and I was selling the characters, and I was telling him how she's one of the greatest, strongest, outstanding characters around. And he goes, really? And I said, yeah, that's right. I said, a girl. And I said, isn't that great? And so I think what I like about her is that she's not built off of another.
She's her own thing. Because even Captain Marvel was not originally a woman. There was that guy. Mm-hmm. And then to even fill the shoes so they could have a Ms. Marvel, they've now put in somebody who's, I'm sorry, everything. I know her power is supposed to be more of an enlargement thing, but let's face it, Kamala, whatever her is, who's the new Ms. Marvel, is basically got Mr. Fantastic's powers.
And
but this was their an effort to try to, well, we want to be more diverse and have different people. And so, well, that's all fine and good, but let them, you know, create something for them so they can establish themselves without building on the name of something else. Because even that's why I didn't get into Miles Morales, because like, well, you're creating this character, but then you're making him a Spider-Man and you're building off the name of Spider-Man instead of letting Miles be able to stand on his own.
The other thing, this
and I would be insulted myself.
Here, this is just another thing for me. The you're talking about, Ms. Marvel. Mm-hmm. Or not Ms. Marvel,
Captain Marvel.
Talking about Captain Marvel. In the film, they had Annette Bening, who as an actress, I think is great.
Yeah, and they turned her into being Mar-Vell instead of...
In reality, Mar-Vell was, in the comic book, was a man.
Yeah.
And some people say, oh, that doesn't matter. I said, well, I'm sorry, it does. And here's the reason. Two reasons. First of all, say that to a woman who's... character who is suddenly turned into a man, it would matter.
Yeah.
And here's the other reason. In my opinion, they should have left it a man for one main reason. Because if that man, like it did in the comics, hands the power over and chooses the woman, it goes to say, look, you're the first woman of this job. We've chosen you because it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It kind of takes away from the meaning of it. That's why.
But that would be insulting to get the power from a man is now an insult. That's the way they view things. It doesn't. It's.
I would have seen it as a compliment myself.
Yeah, but that's not the mindset that does this.
That's sad, really.
And it's sad. We would love to have some more women heroes. I enjoy them.
Love that, yeah,
I love them, but they don't do them in a way, because let me brag on what I'm thinking is a great female hero in video games. I want to recommend the game Horizon Zero Dawn. I've just started playing it over the last few weeks. I'm getting sidetracked because it's getting October, so I'm playing Resident Evil 7 again. But this is a character we get to start with her as a child, and we get to go as so the player. We're learning how to play the game as she's learning the skills she's going to have in the game. And then we get this great big montage as she grows up and she becomes powerful and strong. We get to grow with that character. And like this, if I had a daughter, I'd be like, hey, you sit and play this. You're going to love this. That's the type of where I want a hero, where I want to see like a good hero. You know, we want to see them grow and become stronger. And when to grow, especially in the game, when we get to grow with them, because as I'm becoming a better player, she's also becoming a stronger hunter and warrior and stealth. That's even with a male character, it doesn't matter. That's how we end up loving a character, is when we have a growth thing. And if you just throw them in there, and that's one of the things why I have not watched that Mulan. I don't know if I'll even watch it in December when it comes free, because I saw where, oh, look, Mulan, is this a super child? It's like, no, what made Mulan great in the animated is because she didn't know all this stuff, but she used her smart, and she learned, and she grew, and she became stronger, and became the hero. She didn't just automatically have the skills just because we need her to have them. Hello, Rey.
I know what you're saying.
I mean, that's for people who are going to get mad at me for saying that, that is the truth. Rey came in there. Sure, having the power and having a high midichlorian count is great, so she's potentially stronger, but knowing how to use it is a completely different thing. So, yeah, I could go off on this, but I think you're insulting women by not giving them real good characters that aren't copies of something else, or that we don't get to see them grow and become stronger. I mean, Wonder Woman had to learn a lot of stuff, and we get to see her grow and train and become the Mighty Diana, and I'm looking so forward to the next Wonder Woman film.
I'm so upset.
And it keeps getting pushed.
I know it, and I understand.
And Black Widow keeps getting pushed. Black Widow's in May now.
I understand it, but at the same time, it hurts, because I'm impatient.
Because there are great female characters, and I want to see more of them. I'm really looking forward to a Black Widow movie. That's going to be so awesome.
Yeah,
so
it is.
Because I getting into her origins, and for crying out loud, I know Scarlett Johansson can speak with an accent because she's done that movie where they're kind of goofing on Nazis and stuff.
Yeah.
And she's speaking with an accent. Like, well, can she not speak with a Russian accent? Do they not let her in the movies? Because on Black Widow, she's Russian. She should have a Russian accent. So... But I'm still looking forward to that. But I'm thinking, you know, ladies, I feel for you because I'm afraid I feel like you're being insulted by not giving more original characters that can stand up and hold the test of time on their own instead of having things twisted and thrown at you. But with that being said, rant number one is done. Uh-oh. And it's time to jump into some park news. And unfortunately, I have a lot of bad news.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
So the first bit of bad news, and really, I think you could blame Governor Newsom over there in California. Well, but the Walt Disney Company is laying off 28,000 furloughed workers from California and Florida, and a lot of it has to do because Disneyland has not been allowed to reopen.
Yeah.
So you have a ton of workers that you cannot put back to work to start bringing in money, and it's it says even here on a CBS News story, Disney lost an estimated $500 million for every 2 weeks the attractions were shuttered. And Chief Financial Officer Christine McCarthy actually had said that in May. And that was back in May. So imagine how much money they actually have lost. Now, Disney World's been opened. It's limited capacity. They've been back since May, or since July. But Disneyland, because of a California state order, has not been allowed to open. So Disney, as far as the park side is going, is losing a lot of money. The movie side, I'm sure, is still losing a lot of money. The best thing they got going right now is their Disney Plus. Because we're all sitting at home and we can watch Disney Plus. And I have been. And I've been enjoying Disney Plus. Especially new programming. That thing with the Animal Kingdom. That's, of course, we've only gotten to watch one episode. It was really, really great. Heather and I really enjoyed it watching with the... They had a thing with some of their giraffes. And just... It's a great series. If you're not watching that on Disney Plus, where they're going kind of behind the scenes of the Animal Kingdom park, it's a great thing. But yeah, shares of Disney actually have fallen 13%. And it's mainly because not so much of the COVID virus, but the reaction to it has almost been worse than the virus. I mean, the virus is terrible because, yes, people are dying. Yes. But the reaction may have gone too far. So, but all right, that was not supposed to be rant number two. But yeah, this really hurts. The other thing that hurts about it is Yeehaw Bob Jackson, who we've had on the show. I can't remember what episode number. He's been a staple over in Walt Disney World over at, I forgot which resort he's in.
Yeah.
Terrific performer, and he's such a great guy. But he had to announce, he posted on Facebook that they let him go. I'm hoping when things go back to normal, because anyone who calls this a new normal, no, you're wrong. This is not a new normal. This is a temporary lifestyle that we're having to do with because we're trying to protect each other.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But I expect us to go to some sort of a normal, and at that point, I hope all these workers get to come back, and please let Bob come back, because Bob Jackson had to be let go, and even some other stuff, the Grand Floridian Orchestra was also let go. Now, I'm not as familiar with the Grand Floridian Orchestra, because, you know, there's no way I'm ever going to get to stay in the Grand Floridian. I mean, maybe I can. Maybe one day I will. Maybe one day I'll have the money, can stay in the Grand Floridian. But I guess they've had this orchestra that was playing, and October 3rd is their official ousting.
That was, yeah.
So, let's see. Well, there is actually a thing here on WDWNT. It says, after having played at the resort since its grand opening, think how long ago that was, the band was furloughed during the COVID-19 shutdown and ultimately brought back as the Disney Society Orchestra, a fill-in for the Beauty and the Beast live on stage show during the performer negotiations. I think I've heard the Beauty and the Beast stage show is about to shut down as well. But they have announced their last day of work is going to be Saturday, October 3rd, which was... at time of recording was yesterday. So they are gone. Now, they do have a post from like their fitter. It's like where the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra, they say it's hard to find the words, but sadly, our days at the Grand Floridian are over. In fact, as of October 3rd, 2020, our days at Walt Disney World will come to an end as well. The company brought us out of furlough, changed our name to the Disney Society Orchestra, closed us out of the GF to play a show, or Grand Floridian from GF, by the way, to play a show of Disney-themed show tunes at the Theater of the Stars in Hollywood Studios. We've been playing 9 shows a day, 7 days a week since August 2nd. The music is a far cry from the closely knit harmonies sounds we became known for at the Grand Floridian, but the guys are real pros and they sound great. But that's just only part of like a post that they put on their official Facebook page. I'm going to click in on this, I think, and see if I can I'm going to follow them just to see what happens to them. So, quick little... Oh, okay. This is, I guess... Good. I'm going to like their thing. There we go. There we go. Okay. I thought I was on a different login. But I want to keep an eye, see where they pop up, because I want to see, hopefully, that they're going to be coming back. There's all this stuff that's kind of going down. I really hope a lot of it comes back. All right, but here we go. There was a statement from Walt Disney World, actually. Let me see if I can find that statement again. Let's see. This was, let's see, who from Disney said this? This is this was an email from Jeffrey Kaiser, Executive Correspondence Specialist for Walt Disney World Resort. As you may know, this is what his quote here. As you may know, we are always evaluating and refining our offerings and creating new ideas to build upon Disney stories. This philosophy is in keeping with Walt Disney's visions for continuing to grow and evolve, giving guests a mixture of familiar and new experiences with each visit. You see how they're trying to make it like a positive thing when people get fired? That's I'm just going to stop right there. But of course, that is the media spin. They're not trying to say, oh, isn't this terrible? But they do say, like, further down, we apologize for any disappointment that this may have caused you, and please be assured that we have shared all of your feedback with the appropriate executive leadership teams. So, they say, of course, that they're sharing with the other things. They know people are upset, but, you know, but it's a lot of it is that, like, oh, well, you know, this is just the growing and every time that something bad happens, it seems, you know, it's like, but this is part of that growing and changing. They use that as an excuse, but I'm not going to rant on that right now. But we understand why it's happening. The real reason when you get to it is not so much changing to something necessarily better. It's that they're bleeding money right now because of the situation. We understand. And even non-union Disney World, according to Inside the Magic, they're also being laid off. That's all the bad news I want to get into.
Yeah.
I want to turn a corner here and talk about in Tokyo Disneyland. They just opened their new Fantasyland, and they have a new attraction, Enchanted Tale of Beauty and the Beast. Mm-hmm. It opened on Monday. There's video on YouTube. Did you watch this, Phil?
Not yet, but I have seen a while back when I visited Disney last year, Disneyland. They had bits and pieces of this, like little videos of it, clips of it there.
They showed off the animatronics pretty early on, too.
Oh, yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I got so jealous. They were showing it there and not Florida or Disneyland. I was so overcome with jealousy, which is a sin. I was so overcome with jealousy. And remember, I'm a pastor. Yeah. So I shouldn't be overcome with that.
But you're human.
But I'm human too.
You're human.
So I was so overcome with jealousy. I don't know what I wanted to do more, clap out loud or scream at Disney for taking it over there. But either way, I
would love to visit that Tokyo park.
Oh, are you kidding me? It'd be great. But I want Disney to make a couple things really bad as a young man, as a teenager. Because really, I was a teenager.
Beauty and the Beast.
One of them was Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
The other was Beauty and the Beast. Because as a child, my favorite ride was always Peter Pan. And I loved, and it still is. Yeah. But I love because they brought Neverland alive for me.
Yeah.
And then my second favorite was always Beauty and the Beast and then Little Mermaid. Yeah. And the fact that they can take you into those worlds, and they finally brought Little Mermaid, and now they're finally bringing Beauty and the Beast. I wanted to bring the worlds to life. And only Disney can really do that. Now, Universal does do well, but I'm sorry, Disney has a magic.
The magic. The only word we can say it. Disney magic.
Oh, boy.
Which is why, despite me having a lot of bad news, I still do love this stuff.
Absolutely,
because of the magic. But the photos. I mean, we do have some Beauty and the Beast down at Walt Disney World. They built a restaurant and they built the castle. They have the stuff there. But basically, what this is, they built Gaston's little restaurant in Tokyo. So a lot of stuff we do have here. But the difference is, instead of having a restaurant in the Beast Castle, they built this fantastic attraction.
And I would love to have that
there. But there is video out there if you look around YouTube. I want to call it a free roaming ride, but that's not the right word. But it's trackless, and you're in dish.
That's what I was seeing.
You're in a dish, and basically you're going through different song bits of the film. So it opens, and you're doing the Be Our Guest, and it builds and builds, and new animatronics just keep popping up, and new characters, and dishes are dancing on the table, dishes are dancing on the walls, and there's bubble projections where all the champagne bubbles. It is amazing. And then when you're like, wow, it couldn't get any better than that, you go outside, and there's something sweet and almost kind, and that scene is playing outside, and your cup is dancing around it.
Gone it out and watch that movie.
Oh, I'm getting tingles seeing it because I watched the video. I don't know if Heather was with me in this because she was sitting there, but I was like, I'm getting tingles. I want to see this and ride this so bad because Beauty and the Beast, Beauty and the Beast is my favorite of the animated.
Oh, it's just so
good. It is my top. Granted, Ariel is still my favorite princess, but Beauty and the Beast is my favorite of the animated.
And the part with the computer animation where they're dancing, it's so overwhelming to me. Alarming.
So we get that scene, and I love that the Beast is over there. He's got one bird on one hand. He's looking at. Then at one point, his other hand comes up, and he's got a ton of birds on the other one. He's like, and he's singing his lines, but it's all in Japanese when you watch the ride.
But then
you go through and you see, like shadows of animation of Gaston, like kill the Beast, and he brings the mob in, and you kind of get through. It's like, oh no, the mob attacks. But then you get to see, it's kind of a dark area, and you hear, don't die, I love you, apparently in Japanese. And then you see, and it looked like it was an animatronic of the Beast as well, kind of goes, and we hear the music, and the sparks are going around as he goes and spins slowly in the air, and the animatronic just transforms into the prince.
And that great.
And the music is, I'm getting tingles thinking about it, watching this.
The thing that I love.
And Belle is there. And then the castle around you lights up and transforms.
The thing I love about the animatronics that they've used on this, it's digitally done in a sense to the way it's designed.
Yeah.
And I've seen something similar. When I went to the, I can't think of the name right now. Help me out here. Where George Washington's place.
The Hall of Presidents.
No, not that. No, I'm talking about the actual place that he's at, Mount Vernon.
Oh, Mount Vernon. Okay. Yeah. Where his house.
Yes. Yeah. And they've made this awesome little museum area, and they've got some of his, like an animatronic type thing of him at places where they've done digitally, like they've tried to think what he would look like. At certain ages, because you know we've only
got paintings.
Right. So what the guy tried to do, he tried to think of what they don't have actual pictures or anything of him, obviously. So he tried to think of what he would look like when he was young. But what had happened was somebody at the time had made like a bust type thing of him, and so they tried to take what he would look like with that and. Digitally, they placed it into a computer, and the computer took away the age of certain amounts of years. And so the animatronic of George was moving around and what he would have really looked like that much younger.
Oh, wow.
And the type of animation, through all that is basically the same type they're using on this, where it moves in such a way
so fluid.
Smooth and fluid, and it looks real.
Amazing, yeah.
So to see, as a picture I'm looking at, Philippe looking at this.
The horse is there with Belle.
And it looks, I've seen some of it work before on it's camera, amazing. And it looks so real, and I thought, wow. It's like bringing the cartoon to life.
Yes, but I don't even have the best part. If you thought that the whole scene with the mob and then seeing the transformation, then you go into the ballroom because that's the big finale. And the prince and Belle are like dancing in the middle of the floor. Yeah. And I'm sure they're hiding a lot of stuff under Belle's dress of what's moving this stuff, because you can see the prince's feet doing dance steps as they're circling, and there's playing, the Angela Lansbury singing the song kind of. Well, of course, this is Japanese, so I'm imagining it in English what it would be like. But the ballroom is lit up and it's fantastic. And I'm sitting there going, oh, please build this somewhere in America where I can come and visit it. Because it just took my breath away. Just seeing the video, it was amazing. So if you got to get out there, get on YouTube and search for it. There are people who have taken some POV videos that got out there. It is absolutely amazing. And after you see it, you're going to want to either visit Tokyo or you're going to start begging Disney, please build this in Disneyland, build it at Walt Disney World as part of that Fantasyland. Please build this here because it is fantastic. And I wish there was a photo of the castle. I've seen photos of the castle. I mean, it's like a perfect replica of the Beast castle.
Maybe it's just a dream of mine, but I'm assuming that they will at some point. At least I hope.
Well, because Ratatouille is finally being built over in Epcot. Apparently was a big hit in Paris. I would love to get in there. All right. Now, I do want to go and, let me pull it from here. There's a YouTube video of this, you can get most of the information, but there's something been going on with kind of YouTube. It's Disney Family Game Night. And I guess it's like, I think every Monday they're going to be putting out new videos. Alfonso Ribeiro is hosting these. They're on YouTube. But there's a game card on the Disney Parks blog where you can kind of play this game. where it's like a family game, but it's somehow, I guess it's like trivia or something, maybe on the video. I haven't watched any of these videos, but of course the videos are being kept on YouTube. So if you go to the Disney Parks YouTube channel, you can find the Disney Family Game Nights and you can sit and just watch the video and play the game at any time. But there's like correct answers for game one and game two and games up through game six. There's bonus rounds. So there's like correct answers. So I figure it's like a trivia. In fact, I'm going to click on this because it's a school scorecard PDF and I'm going to download this. And maybe I will play with this later. So I'm going to grab that. So while I'm sitting here. But yeah, go check this out on the Parks blog. They're doing a hashtag Disney Magic Moments. But yeah, Disney Family Game Night. And it says return. So I guess they've been doing this. But this is a Walt Disney World Resort edition. But I guess it's like trivia. So it's just kind of a fun activity that I saw that I thought I would share with everybody. Something else that is fun. DisneyMusic.co/Halloween@Disney. Well, basically, there's a Disney Halloween playlist, which is available on Apple, on Spotify, and an official release. Now, let me read to you what's on the list. I've got it off of Apple. Also, I've subscribed to it on Spotify. But it's been updated Friday, but Disney's making an official Halloween music playlist.
Awesome.
So they got to, of course, This is Halloween, Un Poco Loco, which, not spooky at all, but considering Coco, you know, it's still Dawn of the Dead. The Day of the Dead.
I do too.
You know,
it fits.
It's got some Hocus Pocus music. It just says Hocus Pocus by Brando Staggs and Izzy Jenkins. I am not sure what it is. Monster Mash from a Mickey Mouse type of thing. I Put a Spell on You from a Luke Cage. Remember Me from Coco. Grim Grinning Ghost by Los Lobos.
I was assuming from Hocus Pocus, they're going to put a spell on you. So I was assuming because...
Well, that's Chris Kuhn, Kingfish Ingram, but it says Luke Cage, Season 2, original soundtrack album. So that's where I'm reading this from. Graveyard Jamboree by Larry the Cable Guy from The Happy Halloween. Monster Boogie from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. Boo for You Halloween by the Boo for You... Boo. Well, mine might be. No, that's Boo to You,
Boo,
I think, isn't it?
You're right, Boo.
Calling on the Monsters from Ant Farm, Ways to Be Wicked from Descendants 2. So a lot of this, I'm not that worried about Descendants 2 personally, but Disney Junior Music, Spooky Halloween, Friends on the Other Side from Princess and the Frog, Nightmare Before Christmas, Melody from D. Capella, which I think we've talked about. I Want to Scare Myself by Tigger. I've got that album, the Halloween Songs and Sounds. I have that one. That was actually taken from a Winnie the Pooh Halloween special.
Cute.
Some Disney Junior Music, Exceptional Halloween. Shake Your Bones, also from the Halloween Songs and Sounds. I have that one. Trick or Treasure by the Neverland Pirate Band from Shaking the Neverland Pirates. On Halloween Night from Puppy Dog Pals. Never heard of it. Good Little Weech featuring Sophia and Lucinda from Sophia the First. The Werewolf Song and Which Witch is Which, both from the Halloween Songs and Sounds. I have that album. Creepy Creeps from Mickey and the Roadster Racers. My Evil Buddies and Me from Phineas and Ferb. Mater doing the Mater Halloween Square Dance. Evil from Descendants Wicked World. Safe and Spooky Time from Doc McStuffins. Be Prepared from The Lion King.
Be Prepared.
Mummy Rap from Disney Junior Vampirina. Halloween by the Disney Junior Music Halloween Party. Purple People Eater done by Larry, the Purple Fender Bender by Larry the Cable Guy on the Halloween. Selena Gomez singing Cruella de Vil. Boogeyman Boogie. Go, Go, Ghost from the Ghost Racers. I mean, everybody scream. It's Vampirina. Hauntly Wing from Vampirina. Suspension is Killing Me from Toy Story of Terror. That's a Michael Giacchino one. Monster from Frozen the Broadway Musical. Grim Grinning Ghost directly, of course, Mellow Men, Paul Frees, Buddy Taylor, Billy, Thurl Ravenscroft. You have that. Guardians of the Galaxy, Monsters After Dark.
Huh, I don't know that.
Yeah, that might be. The Monsters After Dark, I think it's what they did on the attraction on the ride. During Halloween, they did it at night. It changed over where there was, after the Guardians of the Galaxy left, after freeing Rocket and getting free themselves, some of the other creatures that were there in the collection were still running loose in the place. And so they had a different thing like for Halloween Horror Nights. And then another from Coco, Dio de los Muertos Suite. That's currently what's on the playlist. There's 42 songs. It's an hour and 40 minutes, but you can listen to this playlist. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Music. It is available. Go check it out. Some fun. Of course, I was putting it on a flash drive. I've got so much Halloween music because I got all, of course, my Disney stuff.
My favorite Disney.
And a lot of the stuff they already have here.
One of my favorite Disney ones that I personally like is have Flumpamoozles.
I have that one. I have that one. And it's also on that same album, the spooky style of Halloween. I mean, I've got so much for Haunted Mansion, and I even grabbed for my Halloween mix. I got a lot of video games. I got a lot of Resident Evil music, Silent Hill, you know, scary games. I don't do scary movies so much, but
Pac-Man, Ghost. Just, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, I didn't grab anything from Coco because, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of Day of the Dead, and that is an October thing, but it doesn't quite have the spirit that I'm looking for. But that's kind of neat that they've included. But yeah, I'm going to probably check out that playlist at some point and listen to some. Now, turning the corner to games, toys, and other news. All right, I want to catch y'all up on what I've been looking at for some casting. Right now, it's listed on IMDb as Peter Pan, but the original title is Peter Pan and Wendy. This is the live-action remake. Here comes the next rant.
I haven't gotten to see this preview yet.
There is no preview.
Oh.
This is just casting. Remember we discussed Jude Law being cast as Captain Hook.
That sounds good. I love Jude Law. He's a really
They got a couple
actor.
Of unknowns. Alexander Maloney is playing Peter Pan and Ever Anderson as Wendy. A couple of unknowns. The newest announcement is Yara Shahidi. Oh, okay. Is going to be playing Tinkerbell.
Now, she looks very familiar to me.
Well, she'd be familiar. I have not seen a thing she's been in. Because I don't watch a lot of TV. She's on a lot of TV movies.
Oh,
well, The Cape. I watched that. She was in one episode of The Cape, but she's on Family Guy. Wizards of Waverly Place. But she's mainly known for being on Blackish and Grownish and Mixedish. That's where she's mainly known as.
Maybe that's why I've seen her on one of those. I don't watch it a lot. I've just seen a couple episodes.
But she's playing Tinkerbell.
Okay.
Now... So I've seen, you know, people, there were people, of course, who were going to say, like, well, Tinkerbell looks like this little blonde. So this is not a little blonde person. And of course, if you make that, everybody's going to call you a racist. But a lot of times it's just because we love the cartoon. And my problem, and I don't have a problem with her playing it, because I mean, in Neverland, you know what? Whatever color works. Yeah, but I think if you want to put some nice diversity in there, I think Hook had a great example where Lost Boys, she had Lost Boys that looked like they could have been from all over the world, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, it ought to be, yeah.
I want to see more Lost Boys, and I want to see them, you know, from all parts of the world. I want to see Lost Boys that have been lost from everywhere.
Yeah.
Tinkerbell being black, I don't care, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But what I just want them to stop with the remakes, because the remakes... It's like an apology tour because they're saying, well, Walt Disney and all the animated, they were not culturally appropriate or whatever. They're insensitive. And so the real reason, other than there is some money in there, these remakes feel like apologies and they're trying to mix them up. But now, see, here's the thing. It's like the worst offender of doing stuff that didn't make sense.
This is a Disney movie, right?
Yes, this is Disney. This is another Disney remake. So Lady and the Tramp had stuff that when you looked at the place in history where they put it, it didn't really make sense.
It didn't make sense.
And there's stuff they're even doing with other stuff that where the origin of the story doesn't make sense with it. But I noticed Mulan, and I'm rightly for Mulan, they did cast an all like Chinese cast. Perfect. Yes.
That makes sense, yeah.
That makes sense to me. Please do that. But I don't want them to go and do casting just to be diverse.
Oh.
Do it because it makes sense. And in Neverland, you know, it makes sense. So they can do that.
Fine.
But I worry about where we're going with this. And I worry what they're going to do with the Indians in this because everybody's been so offended about it because the Indians were silly looking and they have a silly song to sing. But doggone it, if I was a pirate, I'd be mad because Captain Hook and It's Me are silly looking characters. Oh, let's be mad about that. Okay, they're cartoon characters. They're supposed to be funny looking. Get over it.
Here's the other thing. I can understand the song part of it, perhaps.
You know, yeah, maybe the song, but you know, done. It's not done with any hateful intent.
In fact,
they're just being silly.
Yeah, it's not.
It's when you look at it, it's kind of tongue in cheek and jokingly. Plus, how in the world do you get Indians in Neverland? You're getting this concept from an English person who didn't really probably know as much about what we'd hear in the States about our Native American people.
And
most of us are mixed in with some of them anyway. I am.
Well, everybody comes from the same.
Yeah, I mean, we're all... Yeah, when you get into it.
Pastorally speaking, and I'll just to be honest with you, every single one of us started from the beginning.
Yeah.
No matter what your beliefs are.
We all started similar blood.
We all started from the beginning.
Yeah.
Every single one of us, and that's just how it is. What I was going to say was, historically speaking, too, the one thing that I do find interesting is if... you're wanting to have something of history and you go to Milan a while ago, what would be ridiculous in a film if you're doing a Milan thing and all of a sudden she come out with an Uzi, she come out with weapons.
It wouldn't make sense.
You're like, oh, that's dumb. That makes no sense because that stuff's in it. Oh, and wait a minute. She comes in a spaceship. what? You just were in, we just we're not even in reality now. We suddenly went from, you're doing good all through, and all of a sudden, but wait a minute, Philip. This is the, we're being diverse.
Yeah,
we're don't
we want to represent?
We want to represent the future. What if someone 200 years from now comes and sees, and we could hurt their feelings because we not represent their aliens? And but here's the thing: the truth of it is, there's got to be some realism in it too. That's why with, let's say, the Lady and the Tramp thing, it was dumb because
it was cute. It was cute,
but it was dumb.
But stuff I was like,
1912.
It was some of the stuff that's like, that would not have been able to work like that. So it hurts the believability. Granted, all right, we're talking about believability with talking dogs, but.
But they weren't talking.
Right.
Really, because.
They were speaking other dog languages.
Yeah, dog languages. So,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's like they do it just for diversity's sake, and it feels like an apology tour with all these remakes. And I'm.
Yeah. I still like them.
I have enjoyed. But not as much as the animated, but I have enjoyed either. Some of the remakes. Some of them have been fantastic, but. What I think Disney live action needs to do is, and Heather and I were talking about this, is I love this new animated that's, I think it's been pushed, that's, it's kind of a fantasy, but it's a Chinese style fantasy, and they're
it looks good.
Fantastic, like Moana, fantastic.
I love it.
Creating worlds and telling stories from these other parts of the
original.
World. Because most of the old Disney ones are like, you know, European stuff. Well, let's branch outside of Europe, and Africa has so many great stories. Why aren't we tapping in there, Disney? Come on.
I'm offended. I'm very offended.
And I want to see those.
I'm offended because I personally am a Christian. And I personally have a lot of Southern in me. And I personally am overweight. And I personally don't think there's not enough Disney male heroes who are balding and overweight. And see, my whole point is that
they make you as your joke character.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, the point is
you never get to be the hero.
Everybody could be offended in all that if you wanted to. But now, don't take me this wrong. Don't take this wrong. If there is ever a character who offended types and all that, and there were days that people would do that. And I don't think that people intentionally did that in Disney. For the most part, there might have been days that people did. Yeah. But that's not good, and I would never want that to happen. We're not saying that. But I think that sometimes you get to a point where people are scared all the time.
Yeah. We're afraid of offending everybody.
Yeah.
And there are some stuff where it was like...
Well, it was horrible.
It was probably not wrong, I'd say, for Mickey Rooney playing a goofy Chinese guy in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
That was wrong. Yes. There are times where they do mess up.
At the same time.
And Bruce Lee coming up with the Kung Fu series and they put David Carradine in. That was wrong. I called that wrong too.
It was wrong too.
There are times when it was wrong. But, I mean, we don't need an apology tour of remake movies.
At the same time, you had other people like Anthony Quinn who would play a Jewish man. He would play an Italian man. He would play an American. He would play all these types. I'm not offended by any of that.
Yeah.
Because he was such a good actor, and he didn't do it offensively.
Right.
He wasn't trying to. For instance, we've had people who play Indians, and they play all these other. It didn't ever offended me in that sense because he was, like Anthony Quinn, because he did play an Indian and all those other things. If I'm not mistaken, it may have been another actor I'm thinking of, but he played all these things. I don't believe he was trying to offend. He was just such a good actor. He could do all that stuff.
And you know what? If they're going to include the Indians, which they need to, because the Tiger Lily incident.
Yeah,
One of the big mistakes was that Pan movie, and I didn't even bother watching it because it was apparently that bad.
I tried.
But you look at what they did with Tiger Lily, and they reinvented it because they didn't want to offend any Native Americans. But I'm saying, Disney, find Native American actors and actresses and put them into the roles. And then maybe find a way, if you want to represent them better, let them bring some culture. But then make it a good reason for how they ended up in Neverland.
There's some really good ones, too. I've seen some great actors out there who really get my attention, and I
that's one of the things I really liked with the Shanghai Noon. They got some Native Americans, they even found a nice looking lady there.
Yeah,
that I was like, well, whatever happened to her, because she doesn't get any other acting roles.
She's a great actor,
but she's like a rodeo champion and stuff. But
something,
there's Native American, I mean, heck, and Wes Studi, love that man. Wes Studi,
outstanding.
Let him come and play the chief, But you know, doing an appropriate. Yeah, Wes Studi's still going, man.
Good.
Boy, that guy, he ain't dying. That guy's tough, man. You can just look at him. He's a tough old dude, man. Wes Studi's the man. That's awesome.
Yeah, I love
actually, in one of my college classes, I got to edit a scene that he was in an independent film that one of my professors, actually his friend, makes a movie. In fact, remember that movie, that documentary or mockumentary, whatever, where that What If the South Had Won the Civil War?
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Made by the same guy.
Awesome.
It was a friend of one of my professors that taught us video editing. So,
Confederate States of America. Yeah.
So I would love to see a good Peter Pan movie, and I'm excited about Jude Law. And
oh, he's awesome.
I'm okay with the, you know, the Tinkerbell casting. Fine. I don't know much about the actress. I'm like, you know what? I don't care what color Tinkerbell is personally. That's, she's a fairy. What color are fairies supposed to be?
Yeah.
But it seems like the reasons behind these are off. I think they should, if you're going to remake something, it should be because, oh, we can actually tell that story better. Not because, well, we better make this more diverse to kind of apologize for the cartoon. That's what it feels like they've been doing every stinking time. And cut it out. Just, you know, but I'm going to see this because it's a Peter Pan thing.
I love Peter Pan. It's my favorite fairy tale.
It's like, if you do this right, I would like to see you bring in some real Native American actors to play the Native Americans. And even give us some backstory of how they end up in Neverland. Because when you get into the book, it's the second star to the right is a nautical direction.
Yeah.
Because when they're flying to Neverland, they're flying over the water the entire time, not up into the sky. And I'd love to see that played out. And then, because that's how the pirates ended up, they sailed into it. And the other pirates, one of the things, like, okay, the captain is obsessed with this stupid boy who cut his hand off. But, you know, if we sail away, we could get out of this accursed place and actually go pillage and do stuff the pirates like to do and make money. Although what would be interesting is if somebody ever just went with this idea of, what if Captain Hook and the pirates sailed out of Neverland back into the normal world, but they didn't realize that centuries have passed since the days of pirates? And they came out into it. Like, what if they came out into the modern world? Granted, if they came in the modern world, they'd probably find Peter Pan and kidnap his children.
Oh, wait a minute. Yes. Jeremy.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
I love that
say
movie.
Say what you will. There's some things I wish they had done differently.
But I still love that
but
movie.
But I still love it. And I love Steven Spielberg. There's only a few things I would have done different, but I still love the film.
Yeah. But so far, you know, right now we've just got casting on this Peter Pan and Wendy film. And as much as I'm like, I'm tired of remakes, part of me wants to see it. And I don't know also why there's like a sequel to The Lion King live action that's coming around. Why? I don't understand. I don't know. I mean, granted, you probably made some money, but I heard more criticism. I actually kind of enjoyed it. But the reason why I enjoyed it is because of where it reminded me of the original film.
Yeah. There were some sequels, I will say, to Lion King.
Yeah, straight to video sequels. And the only one I thought was kind of good was I think it was called 1.5, or it was following Timon and Pumbaa around.
That was fun.
That was funny. I liked it.
That kind of went into
the other ones were not great
a little bit. And
there's
only a couple things I liked, but.
Yeah, that one at least I found to be humorous. Okay, but we're 45 minutes into the show, and I've got more rants to get into.
Uh-oh.
All right. Well, I don't know if I'm necessarily going to rant, but all right. So in the world of games, we've had a couple of different games. So Star Wars Squadrons, I believe, is available.
And I want to try that.
I would like to try it. Now, here's what I want to be careful about is you might be thinking Rogue Squadron, right? Because those were fun. This is more of a simulator type of play. I'm watching some video. This is very cool. Now, people who like the old TIE Fighter and X-Wing games, I never got to play on the PC. This is very much a simulator. In fact, so far as you can divert power to shields and then choose the front or rear shields, middle shields. You can divert power to weapons. You can divert power to engines. You've got so much control that to me, it feels very complicated that I've heard it's quite difficult.
Well,
but very, very cool.
Our friend Pirate Boy Seth.
What did he do? Let's not call him out because everybody's going to hear this. This goes out worldwide, so be careful what you're going to say.
He's told me this is very good. I call him Pirate Boy. He's telling me that I ought to get this. He says it's very good.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it, but now here's where I'm kind of.
I call him a pirate because he is a pirate. He would want me to tell him a pirate. He likes to be the villain.
Okay, but I would want to hang back. I want to try it before I'd buy it because of the simulator style. I might not be able to adapt very well to it personally, but it also seems this is Battlefront in space where their focus is online, but oh wait, we'll do a single player story. Go ahead. I don't know much about the single player story. I've heard it's pretty good, but it seems like the focus when they're making this was to do multiplayer online games. And that's where on the remakes of the Battlefronts that I'm like, well, unless I'm paying to play online, I'm not getting quite all the features available to it. And I don't know if I want to play online, but that seems to be where gaming is going when you have things like Fortnite.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more emphasis on a lot of online play. And in fact, something I've been really enjoying, Among Us, which has been popping up everywhere, that is online, but I play that on Steam, which is already online. I don't have to pay anything extra.
I just had to get the game. As I was talking to Pirate Boy Seth, I says, you know, and I know that most likely, Spider-Pan will most likely buy it.
Causing clicking noises by doing that. And people
most
are gonna
likely, you're going to buy it. Most likely.
At some point, I probably will want to run because it looks very, very cool. Yes. And I love the simulator aspect. Now, here's kind of the thing where I think they're going to end up having some problems. So this character you're seeing in a picture of is like Keo Venzi. And a writer for Squadrons got on Twitter and says, friendly PSA, as people start talking about characters, Keo's pronouns in Star Wars Squadrons are they, them. Thank you. Was that entirely necessary?
What's they, them?
You don't know about this. This is part of the new social justice for trans people that you... Because there are even people in this on Twitter that they put out what they're... This is what I my prefer... Like, for me, my pronoun preferred pronouns would be he, him. Those are the pronouns that I'm comfortable with you using for me. And this is a they, them. And here is even a description of the character for Keo Venzi. Now, listen how bad this reads. The young pilot Keo Venzi was born on Muriel, but felt driven to wander the galaxy. They found fame and fortune on the galactic racing circuit, earning championship trophies, but running afoul of the criminal syndicate who control races in the Outer Rim. Keo was saved by a kind stranger who opened Keo's eyes to the struggle between the New Republic and the Galactic Empire. Determined to help, Keo brought their races, talents, intuition, and integrity to Vanguard Squadron. So you cannot give them a gender identity because they're a them.
Oh, right. See? Yeah.
Did we need this in Star Wars? Is this making anybody feel better? Or is this more of Kathleen Kennedy's meddling? Now, I saw somebody rant on this already saying, you know, and I have to agree with this, that Star Wars and a lot of our entertainment is supposed to be an escapism. There's some things in our regular world I don't need in my escapism. Yeah. I mean, we don't need this to be a they character of a, you know, because you don't want to call anybody an it, you know.
No, of course.
But it was this necessary that we had to have a they character? Because we're going to put gender identity into a Star Wars game? Was that necessary? Some of you might be saying, yes, I feel better. Fine for you. Me, I'm just like, that felt unnecessary. I'm not even going to really care. I just want to play the game for crying out loud.
And in truth, now you're going to be reminded every time you see the character.
It's a they, them.
You're going to be reminded of stuff in this world.
But did you hear how that read when we're using the name? It sounds like you're talking about him in the third person.
Yeah.
And I feel like the character's like, well, Keo's not in there because, hi, I'm a they.
Yeah,
I don't want to rant on it.
No, but
my whole point
with that is though is that if that bothers you, I'm talking about that character or whatever. Every time you see it, you're going to be reminded of something going on in this world.
Yeah,
and if you're wanting to get away from that in the world, you're going to go to a whole other place in the game. That just that alone is going to remind you that there is a whole other thing.
There's a whole thing where I don't want to get into it because my position here on the show is not to go a step on toes.
No.
Because I want everybody to be able to come and listen to the show. Yeah. Even if we don't agree on everything, I want you to be able to come and hang out here. But I just doesn't feel like it was necessary to come out with that.
No.
But, you know, will that stop me from trying it? Probably not. No. What I am afraid of is the simulator style. That's what makes me nervous, because I don't know if I could think about that in the middle of a dogfight that, ooh, shift power to the rear shields because somebody's behind me.
You'd be used to it. I probably would. I know you.
But that's what makes me nervous more than the pronoun thing, and some people are going to rant and rave about that. But my worry was, ooh, that simulator style, and also the focus being on the multiplayer aspects when I don't play Battlefront really multiplayer online, and I wouldn't really want to be playing this online because I don't want to pay extra to play online. Plus, a lot of people who play online, I get tired of 7-year-olds that are cursing because something goes wrong. I just don't like playing online for the most part, unless I'm playing with friends. Then I don't mind. So, another game I want to go and...
Rant number 40? No, I'm kidding.
I want to go and bring this up. But, okay, so... And I was fairly excited about this game. Avengers... released by Squaresoft, it was developed by Silicon Knights, which I remember from the original Legacy of King Blood Omen game. But they also did that newer version of God of War. But they put this game out, and apparently this game, and it's been out for a month now, but there's a lot of microtransaction problems where in order to unlock all these different... And a lot of it is cosmetics, but you can't get what you want. You get what they randomly give you. And you can end up spending a lot of money. I was watching...
Oh, no.
There's a YouTube series I like to watch, The Completionist, where he tries to get everything. And he went on... He spent hundreds of dollars...
What?
...trying to get everything. Because you can buy stuff flat out. And I don't like when a game does that. Now, he did say that the single-player campaign was a lot of fun. And it was enjoyable. But you can't really play it a second time, the campaign. Because you have to start a new save. And apparently it's very buggy, very glitchy. So I haven't played it myself. I look forward to one day trying this out because I do want to play this Avengers game.
Sure.
But it is it seems, once again, the focus was too much on what they could do multiplayer later, because they want you to play multiplayer, and they keep coming with new stories, or new campaigns, rather, that you and your friends can be different characters in the Avengers, and they're going to bring in new Avengers characters. There's a PlayStation exclusive having Spider-Man's going to be in there eventually. So they're focused on multiplayer. So we'll play the campaign once just so you can get your feet wet, but they want you to play online again. And so they're microtransactioning like Fortnite and all that stuff. And yes, I know a lot of games have got that way, but that doesn't mean it's right that they're doing it this way. So that's as much of a rant I want to have on that. Like, doggone it, game developers, quit doing that to us. You know, if there's going to be extra features, let me go and be able to pick out stuff to unlock. Don't throw me, because to me, it's gambling. Yeah. And I have finally quit playing that Disney Magic Kingdoms thing, because you would get these boxes. And you're trying to maybe get some characters that you didn't get to unlock, and you might spend your hard-earned money on a mobile game trying to. Well, I haven't got Jafar unlocked. I want to get Jafar, thing. But it's gambling when I put money in and then I'm hoping to win a prize, and I don't get that prize, I get something else. I might as well be playing slot machines.
I was kind of doing the same type of thing with one of the Star Wars games I had. I enjoyed the
Battlefront 2 had that problem.
That was the game.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it, but. I guess I'm so used to having the wrestling game in one of the WWE games.
You can pick your stuff.
What I thought was when you bought the big, you know, package thing, that you were getting everything, unlocking everything. That's what I thought I was doing. I didn't know. If I had known you're like, you know, rolling the die and maybe you got this, maybe you got that, I wouldn't have done it. Just the truth. Yeah. I wouldn't have done it. Because when you spend extra money when you've already bought the game, fact is, I don't think you should have to. I think when you buy it, you should have it.
Unless, of course, some downloadable content has been worth it, because it's buying an extra game.
Well, sure, that's what
I'm pretty satisfied with the Spider-Man stuff that I bought, because they were like new stories and they were pretty involved.
With the Call of Duty stuff, I didn't mind some of that. But in all reality, I should have had the ability to already have the extra
weapons when I bought it. Yeah. You know, I was like, give me the finished game when I pay for it.
Yeah.
But they're finding ways to add extra charges on this. And maybe because we're older and we're used to getting, when you got a game, you got the whole game.
That was it.
Of course, the other thing is if they didn't have it perfected and it was on a cartridge, that bug was always going to be there. Yeah. So now, I mean, it is kind of nice that they can patch and fix things. Of course, I'm hearing with Avengers that a lot of the times when they're patching, they've been making things worse.
Hello, WWE. That's
what I'm hearing. Yeah, WWE is really bad. So I just want to put that warning out there that that's what's going on. If you have not purchased Avengers yet, you might want to wait. Give it some time. Mm. I'm going to give it time. I'm going to wait for the price to come down, for one. We're running low on time, so I think I just want to jump to my next thing that I did watch some video of some stuff coming up here in October on Disney Plus. A lot of it we've discussed, but I did see that X2 is popping up. So a lot of these Fox movies are coming in. But a lot of the stuff I think we already kind of had known about, but I did see X2 on the list. But a whole bunch of stuff. If you go to some official YouTube channels, you can watch this trailer that has just all this stuff opening here in October. So if you don't have Disney Plus yet, what are you waiting for? There's a lot of good stuff coming on to Disney Plus. But also, if you happen to have HBO Max, and I was going to go to the trailer park for this, but let me just go ahead and throw it out there. I didn't watch the trailer. I wasn't really a fan of the original movie. I know my wife is. Roald Dahl's The Witches, which there was a movie with Angelica Houston made back in the 80s.
I remember it.
There's a new one, and it's got Anne Hathaway in it. But this is an HBO Max exclusive, and I'm not paying for HBO Max. But they've got a remake of The Witches that is also going to be debuting here this month, which, if you're looking for some October viewing, I think would make good viewing. Personally, I didn't enjoy the original movie. I thought it was kind of gross at a lot of times. But this is where a little boy gets turned into a mouse.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. And he's trying to find a cure. And they're going to turn all the children into mice because they hate children. And Angelica Houston is kind of funny because she can't even say children without gagging in the movie.
She's a good actress.
Yeah. But it's like they wear these masks to appear like they're nice looking. And then they tear their mask off and they're horrible, disgusting looking. The makeup is really done, but they're just nasty.
I never saw the whole thing, but I saw much of it.
But I know Heather really enjoys it. I need to tell her that they've got a remake, but we're not going for an HBO Max just to do that. So anyways, but I really need to wrap this up because we've gone in about our time. And yes, am I sorry I ranted a bit? Not really. I part of the show is, and I've even heard other podcasters say, you know what, if you have some strong opinions, go ahead and express them, because you're going to build an audience of people who agree with you. And even if you don't agree with me, I appreciate you coming along and listening along with me. And hey, send an email. I'll read your email, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Don't forget to find and leave us a review on iTunes and Stitcher and everywhere. If you think I'm a nutcase, tell me on a review. Be fair, you know.
My friend, you are a good guy.
But, you know, I have opinions and stuff, but it doesn't mean when I have opinions and I'm kind of like, I don't like certain things, doesn't mean that I don't also enjoy these things that I complain about.
It's just certain things.
We all love Disney. We're all passionate about stuff, but just when they do stuff that you're like, oh. But I'm kind of tired of I think the only remake that I feel like they really did expand and actually improve on was probably Jungle Book, because they included more of the stories.
I will say this.
And I want to see that sequel to Jungle Book.
I will say, on the Beauty and the Beast, there was one or two things I didn't like, but there are a few things they added to it that I liked.
Yeah, there were some stuff
I enjoyed. I loved that the father had a little bigger story, and I love the song, first of all.
Yeah, that one song, although it should have been the one from the Broadway. I like the Broadway version better.
But first of all, the actor, I can't think of his name right now.
Kevin Kline.
Kevin Kline.
Yeah.
Man, he got a great voice.
Yeah.
And then the song that the Beast sang was so...
Yeah. That Broadway song that he has.
I like that one too, but I still love the one he did.
Yeah, it was still good.
Man, he did a good job.
Yeah, and they're casting these very well, but they never, and maybe it's just my nostalgia, they never, to me, live up to the original films completely.
Oh, you can't do that. I mean, to me.
So...
It could be my nostalgia. But
I think it's just true. The animated ones are classics. And these are, I'm like, and I have seen, I don't know that there's many, I didn't see the sequel to Maleficent because I didn't want to.
I don't think
I'm going to watch the Mulan. Don't. Now, and those of you that enjoy it, that's fine. You can enjoy stuff even if I don't enjoy it. But I'm really tired of the remakes because I miss Disney originality. But unfortunately, Disney originality, because I think I've even said this before, like Artemis Fowl was bad. But then Ivan, the one and only Ivan, to me, it's one of the best of the live actions they've done lately overall, because it was just wonderful and charming and well acted. And it was simple. It was very child level, but it was just enjoyable for the whole family. Okay, granted, I loved their Hamilton film, basically, where they film. I did love that, but that wasn't the same. That wasn't like Disney making a film. But if you haven't watched that, the one and only Ivan on Disney Plus, go watch it. Believe me. Oh, it was such a delight. But I want more original stuff out of Disney instead of all these remakes that felt like an apology tour. But anyways, I'm getting on a rant again, and we need to close the show. But come on, Disney. I know you're capable of better.
You have so much imagination.
Let's get into that Disney magic. Because look at what they're doing in the parks. The amazing things they're doing in the parks. I want to see that sort of amazing out of the Disney film studios. I know you're capable of more than what you're giving us. The animation, you're still giving me some pretty good stuff, and I'm still looking forward to it. I cannot think of the name of it with the, it's like the somebody in the dragon. That looks amazing. I'm excited. So please don't disappoint me, Disney Animation, because sometimes you get Wreck-It Ralph, sometimes you get Ralph Breaks the Internet. We'll just put it like that. All right. But anyways, let's see you all next time.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody! This is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.